In our next story, correspondent Sarah Fischko explores how the extraordinary musical group Orpheus makes its music collaboratively, democratically, the chamber orchestra as commune.
Good morning.
This is the model of the orchestra rehearsal one has grown up with.
Now, gentlemen, we rehearse.
The conductor is at the podium.
The symphony in six.
Complete with European accent.
Ram, ba-ba, ba-ba, ba-ba. Gentlemen, your eights are too long.
He calls them gentlemen because that is what an orchestra was then. This is Bruno Walter, after all, with the Columbia Symphony Orchestra in a famous rehearsal of the Linz Symphony of Mozart, recorded in 1955.
Too long.
And, for the most part, other than the women now in orchestras and a new breed of American conductors that began with Leonard Bernstein, not all that much has changed. Except for Orpheus, that is. The conductorless chamber orchestra that for 28 years has taken another road, one of shifting, fluid leadership and distinctly participatory style. Orpheus rejects the notion of an autocratic leader with a grand vision of his or her own and embraces a group aesthetic now well known to music enthusiasts. The group has been the subject of a documentary film, countless magazine and newspaper articles, and Orpheus has become the model for business management analysts looking for ways to teach teamwork in the corporate world.
Play the whole thing. Somehow, though, we have the E-flat major is all over the place.
The Orpheus that's emerged today is the Darwinian survivor of a lot of different efforts to find ways of working together.
Harvey Seifter is Orpheus's executive director.
It's very much a work in progress. I mean, we're all constantly finding new ways to work together collaboratively. This is not a leaderless orchestra. This is an orchestra of many leaders, where everyone has the opportunity to lead, and at times everyone has the imperative to follow.
The group elects an ever-changing three-person body to govern, in a way, its rehearsals. But interpretation, tempo, style, these are all open questions, subject to lengthy group interaction, inclusive of every player.
I also thought the very opening could be a little more dramatic. Ta-da! Ta-da! Really big your deal. Like that.
We spend a lot of time talking.
Melissa Mell is a cellist in the group.
We have to work very hard to stay focused and stay on track and make sure, okay, we discussed this, but let's go back and really make that happen.
There are times in Orpheus rehearsals where you get frustrated with the process.
Nardo Poi is a violist.
Or we feel we're hitting a wall, you know, and not being able to agree on things, and sometimes the joke would say, okay, where's the conductor, you know. But, you know, it's part of the process.
And there are some questions that one might want to ask, such as, in a group with no strong leader, no single dominating sensibility, do the players feel safer or do they feel more uneasy? That is, can they take more musical risks in a performance or fewer?
What happens in an Orpheus performance is that the way that we work prepares us in such a way that everybody knows the score.
Ronnie Bouch is a violinist and the artistic coordinator of the group.
Preparation is the key to spontaneity. And what one sees is the level of trust between each musician and between each section.
If you're playing a concert and you have this great solo moment, you could drop it all on stage and say, all right, I'm going to take it to the max here. I'm going to take as much time as I want. I'm going to do. And you know there'll be a reaction. You know that the safety net's behind you.
There's an alertness that's required when you're in that situation, which is not necessarily always there when you have a central figure. You have to be on your toes every second. It's not, hey, we didn't rehearse that. You can't do that. We're not going to follow you. It's, you know, that orchestra will be there for you.
So the experience of playing in Orpheus is obviously very different from the experience of playing in a more conventional orchestra under a conductor whose vision all the players are required to realize. The next question is, what is the difference for the listener? Can you feel the absence of a conductor in listening, say, to the opening of the Haydn Farewell Symphony? Here's a conducted performance. And here's another conducted performance. And now listen to what Orpheus does with the opening strains of Haydn's 45th. What I hear, in this case at least, is not the absence of a conductor, but the presence, if you will, of an incredibly precise, balanced ensemble. That's not to say that every musical comparison will have the same results, but when the Orpheus musicians talk about the high degree of transparency they're able to achieve, the sense that one can hear every voice in every corner of the orchestra, it's true, they do get that. Some of it, of course, is due to their size. With 27 players, they're smaller than most orchestras, and they often play a repertoire associated with bigger groups. But their style also reflects an enormous amount of work together in this uniquely collaborative way.
We should play incredibly soft here because we can't make...
We don't have...
So do they long sometimes for a seductively charismatic leader who will take them away from all this talk and negotiation?
Sure. I mean, because that seductive, charismatic figure, if you believe in that seductive, charismatic figure, can lead you to all sorts of places and simplify the process. We all yearn for that at times because it does make things easier. The closest we get to that is when we work with these fantastic soloists that come in and play with us, and they love it too.
At a recent rehearsal with Renee Fleming, Orpheus and the soloist, working together for the first time, made tentative moves to begin with.
It's not quite that fast.
It's too fast.
What do people do? Should I conduct a little bit?
Yeah.
Yes. At least while we're
now.
There.
Right for now, okay. It's really okay.
And soon Fleming was right into the swing of, in fact, being the temporary leader of the group.
I'll do a portamento up to the...
And in almost no time, orchestra and soloist had established a real rapport. And that is often the way of things with this team, accustomed as they are to embracing new and shifting directors and relying on their own individual wisdom and skill to take them through every piece.
Orpheus, having developed the system that we have and developed the skills that we have, can do anything. There is nothing that a conductor can do better than Orpheus could do it itself.
To the wisdom and skill, add belief.
I read an interview with Bill Russell, the old Boston Celtic, and he described the greatest games of his life were the finals of his Boston Celtics against the Los Angeles Lakers, when Wilt Chamberlain was his nemesis, in a sense, the center. And he said that at the end of the game, when these teams had played each other and fought each other game after game, and he knew not only all the players on his team so intimately and all their moves, but he knew all the players on the opposing team. And he said at the end of the game that literally the time would stand still, it would slow down. And he was completely overtaken by the beauty of the game, and he really didn't care who won or who lost. And for me, that's the closest description in non-musical terms of what happens in an Orpheus or a chamber music-like performance, when time almost stands still and you're so clued in, so focused on what your partners, what your colleagues are doing, that you can almost predict what they're going to do, and so you're able to put out a new idea and have them be able to receive that pass and go on from there.
Orpheus, still together at 28. For Studio 360, I'm Sarah Fishkill.